Let's go to Hebrews 13:4. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. The Lord gives me much of a burden to speak about the marriage life because it's something very important for us. And it's a very practical point that has a central meaning for God's kingdom. At the beginning of the Bible, we see that he doesn't leave Adam alone. He makes a counterpart for him. And God has really brought something very important through the church. He shows, through the marriage, he shows us how important the church is to him, how the church is, and what the relationship is between him and the church. And this glorious expression should be in every marriage. We can learn a lot of spiritual things through the marriage. Through fellowship with my wife, for example, the Lord could change a lot of things in my life. For example, this loving care for one another, we also need this for our husband or wife. And I want to just speak about how we should not only care about ourselves, but for one another. In our marriage life and our family life, we should all learn to carry one another's burdens. We need endurance, perseverance for this. It's not always easy. But through this, we can really learn Christ. It's really good to listen to my wife, to ask her what kind of worries she has, to also learn to understand her, but to also turn her view to the Lord and to the truth that is in the Lord. And we need this time for one another. Without this time for one another, you can't really understand one another. And this expression is missing. I've spoken about this burden with many saints already, or with some. And it's good to learn from the Lord. How can we serve our wives and husbands that we can go this way together? To be strengthened in the Lord together. We can learn through the marriage life how unconditional God's love is, to see the person's mistakes but to still accept the other person, to see where someone or where we have made mistakes ourselves and to confess it and to talk about it. What's often helpful for me and where the Lord has made it in me, we're also very different from one another, so we need this collective. If I think, oh, I'm right and I know how things work, then the Lord has helped me very often. Because my wife, for example, she can sympathize more with other people. And in this, I can learn to also have my view broadened in terms of how to deal with other people. Of course, in the marriage life, there are also things that the enemy does to try to destroy the marriage life. There are also fleshly marriages where it's where we deal with one another in a fleshly way. It's where our ego stands in the center. I entered into this marriage so that my needs could be fulfilled. This is a fleshly marriage. Or as we see in the world, it's this very egotistical display and expression. So the enemy tries to use pull what is honorable into something really filthy. Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, we can see what a godly marriage is like, a holy marriage is like. Starting from verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we're not here to reach the goal alone, but we're here to help one another. And this mind of Christ is something that I experience at home again and again. There are a lot of requirements. I don't think it's like being in the military yet. Not that strict, but there's a lot to do at home. And I need to really put on the mind of Christ to serve, to help others, to help them grow, develop, to bring them to the Lord, and to have this godly perspective to share the spiritual food with those in my household. And in this way, marriage can be lived out in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, to help one another, to serve one another, to also respect the wife. Second Corinthians 1:24, it says that we are fellow workers for your joy. The true joy exists in our consecration for one another. If we really do the will of God in our serving one another, then we really have joy, the true joy. But a trap, a common trap, is fornication and adultery. That's why in Hebrews 13 it says, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And the word even says that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom. That shows that marriage is very contested in this world today. And the enemy keeps shooting arrows, whether it's through lust or through negative emotions. The Lord, the enemy is always sowing things that try to disrupt and destroy. But when lust conceives sin, so through the shield of faith, we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and we have to do this continually. And when the enemy shoots arrows to try to destroy the family life, the marriage life, the kids, we can not only quench his darts, but turn them back to him. Yeah, the kids are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So on the one hand, he shoots arrows at us, but the kids become arrows in the hand of a warrior instead. And the enemy will even be, destroyed by the kids. Yeah, that was Psalm 120, verse 4. And then if we continue to read in Hebrews 13, it says, I will... Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Deuteronomy 21:6, I believe, or 31:6. It says, do not fear, because I will go before you. I will not give you up nor forsake you. Yeah, that was Deuteronomy 31:6. We can hold on to this confidence and not give up. We need this confidence and this hope in our faith that we will make it to the goal. And this confidence doesn't come from us, but it comes through the Lord, through Christ, and we look away unto him. The people of Israel didn't enter into the good land because they were especially bold, it was the Lord who went before them. And I experienced this at home. If something breaks, and then they say, okay, we have to ask our father and he'll do it. And if the kids have a project that they want to do, then they realize, and it's beyond their capacity, then they think, okay, then my dad can do it. And then when daddy's there, then they think, oh, okay, I'm confident that we can do it. And I think we can apply this to the spiritual things. And God's capacity and his skills are much greater than anything our human fathers can give us. And then we can truly have this confidence. Because Christ has gone before us. He has already conquered death. And he went this way and has reached the throne. And he has all power and authority. And he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is with us. And this is what we hold fast to in faith, without doubt, without fear. Yeah, we really need confidence in our faith. And this is very far-reaching. It talks about, Hebrews 13 talks about covetousness or love of money. We might think, okay, how will it continue with work? How can I take care of my family? How can I pay for our apartment? How will it continue with food, clothing, work? We can have confidence in the Lord. The Lord is my helper. He won't leave us alone. Also, in difficult situations, he will give us everything that we need. We can fully trust in him, fully lean upon him. Also, things will become more difficult. There will be more need. There will be more persecution or being shut out, not being understood, being put under pressure. But when we see these things, then we can say, with assurance, the Lord is our helper, and he will give us everything that we need. Also, in difficult situations, He gives us the boldness. He gives us the joy not to give up. Also, as it relates to his second coming, we think, will I make it? Will I make it into the kingdom? Will I be raptured? Of course, we ask ourselves these questions. But I want to also have hope. I know it's not possible out of myself, but I know that I have the one who has made it and with whom it is possible, and he will help us. He will perfect us. And in faith, we conquer the things that we do not yet see, and we hold fast to it. And then we will be able to lay hold of it in our lives, that we wouldn't be or fearfully draw back, but that we would fully trust in Christ. Yeah, time is the true test. Of course, things won't remain as they are, because you can't freeze life. We have received his life, and life changes. But what I see also with my kids is that life grows and life wants to grow. Life doesn't want to stay standing still. Even with my two twins, if they don't get enough milk, they scream until they get it, and then they get more and more milk, and then they grow. And then the grandparents come and say, wow, they've really grown, because life does not stay standing still. And this, and of course the enemy sets up traps for us. For example, pride. I'm reading the prophets right now. And whenever the people become proud and think that they don't need God anymore, that's a huge trap, and that's what has made them fall. There are lots of distractions, lots of things that lots of things that ensnare us, but life wants to grow. And it depends on our faithfulness. How faithful are we when he speaks to follow him? And the Lord told me, I really need to keep a soft heart, a heart that can be molded by him. And this has a lot to do with how we deal with mistakes. We don't have to be afraid of mistakes, because he won't forsake us when we fall. And he doesn't say, okay, now you sinned and it's over with you. That's not how I deal with my kids at home. They make mistakes, right? And sometimes they make the same ones again and again. But I'm still there for them. And the important thing about mistakes is that we learn from them. And then we have the verse that says that the righteous falls seven times. And it's not that after that everything is over, but he stands up again. So we shouldn't look into the future with fear and think, oh, what if I make a mistake? Oh, I have to always be perfect. But we go on in faith, in trust in the Lord. And we want to accept this. And we want to go on with joy and boldness. The enemy works a lot with fear. We see this very strongly in the world today, and also in the church life, how the Lord tries to scare us, give us fear to see if we'll make it, or to be scared of what we can receive or what will happen to us. But this fear shuts us up in a way, but the perfect love casts out fear. So we should lift up our heads, because our salvation is near. Matthew 8, Matthew 8:13 says, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. So the Lord will make it with us, but we have to hold fast to this. And then it says, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Yeah, Lord, we should not forget and lose our hope, even in all of the serious situations. Let's really hold fast to our faith with confidence, because He will take care of us and He will draw us to Him. Yeah, we trust in Jesus. He is the King and He is our helper. Thank you for this precious faith. Lord, we praise you. We also give this word to you, consider it before you. Lord, we want to really substantiate this word by faith, to experience all your virtues. I just want to expand upon this. Hebrews 13, 1 to 6 is so wonderful. After we saw so many high things, this shows many, Hebrews 13 shows very practical, daily things. So faith really applies to every aspect of our life, not just huge deeds, but every aspect of our lives. So I appreciate very much here that there's this matter of Hebrews 13. Actually, it's a continuation of Hebrews 11 and 12. The Lord showed the highlights in Hebrews 11. They were really mighty works and acts that were brought about by faith. But in 13, chapter 13, it says, by faith we can gain the Lord in our daily life. So that's why it says the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say that the just shall by faith sometimes do mighty acts. But for me to live is Christ, is what Paul said. And Paul really had mighty experiences through faith, like the serpent who bit him. And in many small things that may seem very inconspicuous, the Lord says, live it by faith. Live by faith. We have to have a heart and love for one another, for the saints. And many things concerning our humanity is addressed here, or are addressed here. Actually, he continues to speak about Abraham and Moses. Actually, it's the same as Hebrews 11. Yeah, who unwittingly entertained angels? Abraham, even Lot. They were so hospitable. And in Genesis 18, it says, as these angels came to Abraham, you have to see how hospitable he was. He falls to his knees, not because he wanted something from them, but because he wanted to be hospitable to them and entertain them. He did everything, and he got the best lamb for them. It's wonderful to see. Abraham lived by faith. And he entertained angels, even unwittingly. And then after this, God says, can I hide from Abraham what I will do? So our being hospitable, our walk is so important. And Abraham had if Abraham had such love for Lot, if our brother would go into the world, then something would happen to him, then we would say, well, yeah, it's his own fault, serves him right. But Abraham, as Sodom was captured, and he had such a brotherly love for Lot, even though Lot went the wrong way, he took him out. Even as Sodom was to be destroyed by God, he negotiated with him to see if it would still not be if it would be possible to still save Lot. So actually, Hebrews 13 continues to speak about the faith of all these witnesses in Hebrews 11, but it addresses the specific humanity. For example, with Moses, we saw that he could have lived his nice life, but he would rather suffer affliction with the people of God. Even though he wasn't affected directly, he would rather have suffered affliction with them, or he rather suffered affliction with them. So we need his humanity. The Lord speaks to us concerning things that we should do, and we need to substantiate it by faith. But often the Lord speaks and addresses to things in our humanity where we need his patience, his love. And so we need to learn to mix this word with faith and to say, I want to substantiate this as well. Sometimes it's outward things, like to Abraham, move out. And we need to take these steps in faith. But sometimes the Lord, or very often, the Lord says, take me as your patience. You need brotherly love for this brother. And in this way, we should also follow him by faith. I substantiate it, realize it by faith. That marriage would be held honorable, that our walk would be without covetousness, or our conduct would be without covetousness. This has a lot to do with faith, yeah. That we would believe in him and trust in him, that he will always provide enough for us. So that's why I find this section of Hebrews 13 so good. Galatians 5, 6. It says, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. Yeah. Yeah, everything has to do with our whole walk and our being, our humanity as well.